Blog Talk Radio.
And all access call exclusive.
Welcome everybody to another edition of College Football Insiders Radio. This is week 11. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione, the founder of College Football Insiders, and we have another packed show for you with a bunch of great guests. Joining me today will be running back Noel Devine of the West Virginia Mountaineers. He's going to be taking the field tomorrow night against Cincinnati Bearcats, number 5 in the BCS. We have John Clay, another running back out of Wisconsin. The Badgers are on a roll and look like they could be headed towards a 10-2 season. We also have headman Pat Fitzgerald of the Northwestern Wildcats, a Hall of Famer as a player and starting to make a real name for himself as a head coach in the world of college football. They are coming fresh off an upset of number 4 Iowa in the BCS. And finally, from the number 2 team in the BCS, we have cornerback Kareem Jackson of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And we will obviously go over a bunch of the games heading into this weekend. Don't forget, thank you to the Fantasy Sports Channel for having us on here, a little college football. I was on a show on Tuesday with Mr. Day, and I had a lot of fun with all the fantasy callers calling in, asking me questions about potential draft guys and guys moving on to the next level. So hopefully we'll generate some calls here as well. The number is 347-945-6274. And if you're a little shy and don't want to get on the line, jump on the chat room and I can meet you there and we'll talk some college football. But for now, we're going to get started talking to headman Pat Fitzgerald of the Northwestern Wildcats about his club, where they're going. They're 6-4, bowl eligible for a third straight year, which is something for that program, and coming off that huge win in Iowa City, where Pat Fitzgerald seems to have an ownership of the Hawkeyes there. He's 3-0 in 4 years playing on the road against Iowa.
Hi, this is Daniel Moglione, and welcome to another edition of College Football Insider's Coach's Corner. And with us today is head coach Pat Fitzgerald of the Northwestern Wildcats. The Wildcats are 6-4 overall, and they are the FWAA Tostitos National Fiesta Bowl Team of the Week, coming off their 17-10 win over the fourth-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes in the BCS. Coach Fitzgerald is 25-22 in his fourth season, and for the third year in a row, he's got his Wildcats bowl eligible. Hi, Coach. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dan. Great to be out here again.
Well, we're really happy to have you on again. You're always one of our favorite guests. Let's talk about that game on Saturday. You know, I believe the last time you guys beat a team with a better record, Northwestern, was back in 1949 when you beat a 10-0 Cal team. How big was this win for the program?
Well, you know, victory number one, you know, it gave us an opportunity to get to that magical number of 6 wins, you know, and then number two, to be, you know, in an opportunity where you're playing a team that's undefeated on that national stage, and it gave us just a tremendous opportunity to go compete, and I'm very proud of our young men, but now our challenge, and at the end of it well, is to refocus and re-energize and get ready for our in-state rival, the Atlanta, this weekend.
Now, how about for these individual players, you know, moving forward, particularly the young guys that'll be back next year and the year after that, how big is it for them to have that win, you know, win like this under their belt?
Well, you know, to get to bowl eligible 3 straight years, I believe, shows where our program's at. We're building a foundation here of consistent success, and that's what we strive for. And some of our goals, obviously, still out there in front of us. But you know, at the end of the day, you want to be a consistent winner, and you know, we're driving forward to get there.
Now, you're 3-0 now in Iowa City in your 4 seasons there. Is there anything to that? Have you been staying at the same hotel, eating the same breakfast?
You know, I don't know. I think we're just fortunate. We found a way to make some plays and get the win, and we do stay at the same hotel, but I don't know if that has anything to do with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe you should lobby to play some neutral site games there. I don't know.
Yeah, we're good. I think all of our games are
Ryan Field. I hear you. So, you know, this is, I believe, the first time you mentioned the importance of being bowl eligible a third year in a row. Looking at the program and the direction you're headed in, what significance does that bring to the program?
Well, it's critically significant. It's significant now for the seniors, 21 great seniors that we have, to send them out successful. And then for the foundation that they're laying, you know, it proves to every recruit in the country and every family and coach, high school coach in the country, that, yeah, you're going to go to Northwestern and get arguably the best degree in major college football, opportunity to be in the backyard of Chicago and build your resume and do internships and summer jobs. But you're also going to have a chance to compete on the football field to win and win consistently and compete to win championships. And I think that's what every young man wants to have. And I believe we've got a unique full package.
Now, we're talking to head coach Pat Fitzgerald from the Northwestern Wildcats, coming off a big win over Iowa, 17-10, picking up win number 6 to be bowl eligible. Coach, you've been very successful on the road. You guys have won 5 of your last 7 Big Ten road games, 3-1 away from home in 2008, 2-1 this year. What's the secret to being so successful away from home?
Our guys do a great job focusing. You know, we go on the road and we kind of take that mentality that it's us against the world. And, you know, from the end of, you know, really a couple of years ago, our mentality and our attitudes really shifted into becoming really consistent in our preparation and the way we get prepared. And our guys have done a really good job at home and road.
All right, now let me get some info here on some of your guys and how they're doing. You guys are a little bit of the walking wounded to some extent. How's Mike Kafka doing with his hamstring?
He's doing great. Was running around today, full speed in practice, so he's getting closer and closer to 100%.
All right, I remember in preseason I asked you a lot about his running ability, and you told me, hey, this kid could throw too, and he's had a really good season passing the football in addition to what he could do moving his feet. How happy are you with his senior campaign?
I'm very pleased. I'm very, very happy with the way that Mike has stepped up, the way that he's gone about his business. And I think at the end of the day, you know, if we could finish strong here, it would be hard to tell me that there's somebody else playing better quarterback right now in this league than Mike Kafka.
Yeah, it was unfortunate to see him go down in that Penn State game. It looks like, you know, it really looked like you guys were giving them a tough game and it was going to go down to the wire. How about Dan Persa? He played a little better last week. How's his hand doing? Is he available?
Yeah, absolutely. He played. He practiced today and practiced full speed, took team reps in the whole nine yards. So, you know, he got his hand banged up a little bit, but everything's come back negative. And there's not a tougher player in our program than Danny Persa. So, you know, I'm very pleased with the way he played a week ago, and he took a step forward, and now hopefully he'll continue the same thing if he's asked to go in a game on Saturday.
And could we see him play, or is that strictly if Kafka can't go?
No. Mike will go, and then Danny has a role typically in all of our game plans, so without a doubt you'll see Danny play.
All right, great. And on the other side of the ball, how about safety Brendan Smith, a key guy to that defensive backfield, also injured himself, I believe his thumb, in the Penn State game. How do his chances look for this week?
Well, unfortunately, not as good as Danny and Mike. You know, I called Smitty probably questionable right now. We'll kind of see as things wrap up towards the end of the week. But, you know, he's just doing a great job leading, even though it's not necessarily on the field. And really, really pleased with him. Couldn't be more happy.
And, you know, one player who definitely seems to be coming on a little bit now had a big, huge play last week, and that's Corey Wooten, your defensive end. How's he progressing? And, you know, obviously he's had some struggles early on. It really does make you coaches look a lot smarter when your best players step up and make plays like that, doesn't it?
Well, I heard a long, long time ago a great coachism. It's Willies and Joes, not X's and O's. There's no doubt about that. It's about the players and the men in the arena. And from that standpoint, there's no doubt that one of the best in this league and one of the best ever played here is Gordon Wooten.
How great was it for him to come up and make that play? I know he's not putting up the type of numbers he wanted to as a senior, but for him to step up in that spot?
You know, you hope that every senior has the opportunity to play the best football of his life in a senior season. And, you know, Corey, unfortunately, had to battle through a couple of injuries, but at the end of the day, his attitude has not wavered, and he's starting to play the best football of the year right now when we need him.
And how important is that for him? I know a lot of probably scouts are watching him play and things of that nature. How important is it for him to finish strong now?
Well, you know, it is important. You know, I don't think the NFL has any negative things to say about Corey. Court Luton, you know, and unfortunately he got hurt, and they're going to evaluate what he looked like prior to getting injured and, you know, really take a hard look at that and then be able to make their projection from there. And then he'll also have an opportunity to play in some postseason play, you know, after that. He'll have a chance to play in some All-Star games after our bowl game. So he's going to have ample opportunity to show every NFL scout in the country what kind of player he is. And he's been doing a great job so far this year, but also doing a great job the entire strength of his career.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a heck of a player at the next level. And it's interesting to me, you know, a lot of teams in the NFL shifted to a 3-4 team. What do you think Corey's chances of playing as a 3-4 end? He's a pretty big kid. Looks like he might be able to even put on more weight. Do you think he could play that spot?
Oh, I think he can do whatever he sets his mind to. You know, he's that kind of dynamic, talented, that kind of athlete. And, he's got that kind of attitude and work ethic. So without a doubt in my mind, he can play whatever position he thinks is best suited for by that team. I think the sky's the limit for the young man.
Let me ask you about a couple more guys. Linebackers, your former position there at Northwestern. Quentin Davey and Nate Williams, I think, are two guys that have really stepped up as juniors and having big seasons.
They are. They're playing well. They're playing consistent. They're playing physical. And, you know, what we need to do now is just continue to work to get better, and that's what those two guys did this week so far, and hopefully we finish it up tomorrow.
All right, Coach, before we let you go, we like to end things with the segment we call Three and Out. Last time we spoke, we learned you're a Bon Jovi fan, so hopefully we'll learn a little bit more about you today. First down, yesterday was the 40th anniversary of Sesame Street, and I know you're about my age, so you probably grew up watching it. When you were a kid, what was your favorite Sesame Street character?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, if I had to pick one, I would probably have to go with Big Bird.
Big Bird, he's almost sweeping the rounds here. I've been asking a few people that. Second down, I know you got young kids like myself, and every once in a while, you got to watch some shows with them. What's your favorite current show that you watch with your kids?
Without a doubt, Curious George.
Curious George. I like it, too. I watch that with my daughter before she goes to bed almost every night.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, that's like a routine.
Exactly.
And finally, third down, what's your favorite sport outside of football?
Oh, that's easy, too. I grew up here in Chicagoland when we can only listen to the home games on the radio, and Pat Foley and Dale Town were calling the Blackhawks games. I'm a huge hockey fan, and if I could go to every Blackhawks game here, I would. And if I could give everybody the opportunity I had as a young man growing up and then through high school to go to the old Chicago Stadium and watch the Hawks play, you'd be addicted to hockey the way that I am.
Big hockey guy. I'm just curious. Let me throw one more out there. Joe Girardi. Fourth down. Exactly. Let's go for it. Joe Girardi, a Northwestern guy. Did you follow the World Series at all?
Absolutely. Joe and I are really close friends, and we've been texting back and forth, and, you know, I don't know if you heard about the run that he had with Luke Castillo, a big-time defensive tackle, playing for the Chargers. They saw each other on the field before they played. Joe's like, hey, Lou, and Lou thought that was so cool. And, there's no bigger fan of Northwestern sports and Northwestern athletics and Northwestern University in the greater Manhattan area than Joe Girardi.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot for joining us and giving us some time. We even went a fourth down. Good luck this week against the Fighting Illini in that rivalry game.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, and as always, go Cats.
And that was headman Pat Fitzgerald from the Northwestern Wildcats, who are 6-4, bowl eligible for a third year in a row. Last season, they picked up 9 wins in Coach Fitz's third year. Atop of the team, atop of leading the program. They had a close game against Missouri, had a chance to pull off a big upset. The Jeremy Macklin, who's doing his thing in Philadelphia, had a big kick return in that game that kind of turned the tide back to the favored Missouri Tigers. But he's doing a heck of a job there, one of our favorite coaches, one of our favorite guests to have on all the time. I was fortunate enough to meet him a couple years ago when he was inducted for his playing days at Northwestern. He was a 2-time Bednarik and the Gursky Award winner, led the Wildcats to a Rose Bowl. If you remember, they lost to the Keyshawn Johnson-led USC Trojans, but that was a heck of an accomplishment for Northwestern to make it to the Rose Bowl. Folks, you're listening to College Football Insiders Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione, brought to you by All Access Football, as well as the Fantasy Sports Channel. We appreciate being on the waves, and you can always go to FSC.FM for all your fantasy radio. And also, don't forget, go to www.nfldraftbible for all your draft news as well as college football news. Posted today, we have our Heisman ballot from week 11. Who do you think is on top of that? Not necessarily the usual suspects. We also have a preview, Notre Dame at Pittsburgh, our BCS Busters week 11 preview, which of course includes the big tussle between Utah and TCU. Also posted today are our Big East power rankings and week 11 preview for those games, as well as the Doak Walker semifinalist awards and other awards. In addition, you can get the College Football Insiders newsletter that is up on the website as well. You can download it for free. Our game of the week this week is Iowa playing Ohio State in a battle for the Big Ten. We also have a conference focus on the Big East, as well as all the good stuff, player spotlights, one-on-one, top 25, and our Between the Hashes column is on the Alabama Crimson Tide, who, you know, we really feel are headed towards a national championship. I think, you know, even though they didn't go out and blow out LSU, I think LSU is a really heck of a team. They're just unfortunate that they've had to play both Alabama and Florida. I'm not sure anybody else would have won those games, either teams that are ranked below LSU or teams that are ranked above LSU. I don't know if they would have come out with a win. We'll find out when Texas probably takes on the winner of the SEC championship game how they fare. But I think LSU really could make a claim to be the third best team in the country when it's all said and done. But anyway, we really think Alabama's headed in the right direction. They have a great defense, unbelievable front seven, arguably the best secondary in the nation, and coming up shortly will be one of those starters from that defensive backfield, Kareem Jackson, their junior corner. You know, he's only a junior, but he's in his third year starting at Alabama. And, you know, the one big question mark with the Crimson Tide is their quarterback play. And Greg McElroy was clearly shaky last week. But, you know, he missed a wide-open Julio Jones on an easy, easy touchdown pass. But, you know, he did throw for 270 yards against a pretty good defense. And obviously a lot of those came on a short pass to Julio Jones, which was more run after the catch than the pass. But at the same time, all these quarterbacks get those stats. What, you don't think, you know, Colt McCoy's stats are helped by throwing a 5 or 6 yard pass to Jordan Shipley and letting him run 67 yards with it? By the way, Greg Kellogg, who's with us in the chat room, is chiming in, and he's saying Texas is a fraud. And he said he watched him in the spring, has no faith in Colt McCoy. Greg, I don't know if I'm going to call him a fraud, but you're right to some extent. That's why I kind of made that case in the column that, hey, LSU might be the third best team in the country, and I know people from Texas will get their arms up about that. But look who Texas has beaten. They really haven't beaten that many great teams. You know, their big win was a win over Oklahoma, a team that now has 4 losses. You know, they beat them without Sam Bradford, and it seems like, you know, it seems like Oklahoma's just having a down season. You know, they lost to Nebraska last week without Brad. So, you know, I think Texas right now, that resume is lacking big time, and they really didn't play anybody in the non-conference schedule. And I hate to give teams a lot of credit for kind of, you know, putting 3 or 4 easy wins onto that record. You know, I would love to see them, you know, put up a better competition, play somebody out of conference, and that would impress me a little more. But, you know, their best win right now is against Oklahoma, a team that's got 4 losses. And, you know, don't forget last year when we were talking about the Big 12 challenging the SEC, they had 3 teams out of that division with 11 wins. You had Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Texas all going 11-1. This year that's not going to happen. In fact, Oklahoma State is the only other team besides Texas that can reach double digits, and they still have to play Texas Tech this week, and they have to go to Norman to end the season. So there's a good chance Texas is going to be the only 10-win team. Now, people love to hate on the Big Ten, and obviously there's no more undefeated there, but the Big Ten is going to have four 10-win teams. So this year I think is a little bit of a down year, and I think that should hurt Texas, but it won't, because a lot of the voters feel like last year is going to be, you know, it's going to be in their mind, hey, Texas was a team that got the raw deal. So because of that, I think, you know, in their undefeated record, they're going to stay ahead of Cincinnati. They're going to stay ahead of Boise State, and that's what Kellogg wants to see, Boise State playing in the Cincinnati in the championship game, and he thinks Boise is going to paint the ground blue. I don't know about that, Clark. I keep calling you Clark Kellogg, like you were the former basketball player. Greg Kellogg, who's in the chat room with us, I think TCU is the best of the BCS Buster teams. But before we talk more about that game, TCU taking on Utah, we'll see what they do. Let's listen to Kareem Jackson from the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Joining me now in this College Football Insider's Player Spotlight is cornerback Kareem Jackson from the Alabama Crimson Tide. Jackson has 27 tackles this season and an interception when 10 passes defensed. He was the unsung hero of the 2008 Crimson Tide, who are 9-0 this season, second in the BCS. He is also known as Ice Kareem. What's up, Kareem? How's it going today?
Going good.
So how's everything? You know, life must be good. At 9-0, huh?
Yeah, it is. We just focus on improving every day.
So let's talk about last week's game, you know, against LSU, an outstanding college football game. Would you say that's the toughest team you guys have faced so far this year?
Yeah, those guys in Tennessee came out ready to play, and those guys were physical, so... Yeah, I would say LSU and Tennessee were two of the toughest teams we faced this year.
And how important is it to play, you know, that type of game before you get to the SEC championship game, you know, that tough type of physical game down to the wire in the fourth quarter? Even last week you guys had to make a comeback in the second half. How big is that, you know, on the road to a potential championship?
It's real big. It's always good to have those kind of games, so... Let us know that we can't take any teams for granted. We have to hit the ground running every game and play for 60 minutes. So whenever you can play a team like LSU and you know they're going to come out physical and ready to play, it kind of, and you're able to pull out the win. So it's always good to win those kind of games.
All right, tell us a little bit, you know, about yourself. Well, let me start with this. How come number three? Why do you wear number three? I see a lot of corners around the country wear that number. Any particular reason?
When I first got here, I wanted number five, but someone was in it, and then they kind of put me in number 19. But all my life, I never really wore a double digit number. So, I mean, with three being my next favorite number besides five, so I said, why not?
Why did you want to wear five?
Because this is what I wore all my life. Really, that's what I wore in high school. So I was really accustomed to wearing five. So, you know, this is my favorite number. So, I mean, I just wanted to kind of stick with it. But someone was in it. He was an upperclassman. So I just went to three.
All right. So it wasn't for any particular player or anything like that?
Nah. No particular player.
All right. I thought maybe you were wearing three for my man Keyshawn. I wasn't sure, you know?
No.
So how about off the field? You know, tell the listeners out there a little bit what you like off the field. We're talking to Kareem Jackson, corner for the number two ranked Alabama Crimson Tide.
Off the field, I mean, I'm kind of a laid-back guy. I mean, like any other college athlete that got some downtime, I'm pretty sure they like to sleep. I do a lot of shopping in my off-time, too, so... I'm not sure. A lot of guys like to do that, so I love to buy shoes and hats. So I do a whole lot of shopping.
Yeah, I can feel that. I get to sleep a lot from players, both in college and in the NFL. You know, when I got time off, I want to sleep, but I can feel the shopping. Hey, I'm in the shopping capital of the world here in New York City. So if you ever come up here, give me a buzz. We'll hit Broadway.
Oh yeah, I definitely have to.
And what other interests do you have in hobbies?
I mean, football is one of my main hobbies. I don't really play any PlayStation or any of that, so, I mean, I don't really do too much. Like I said, I'm just a laid-back guy. Any downtime, I'm just watching TV, I mean, movies. Just a regular old college student. I started football.
I mean, you mentioned liking to buy some hats and shoes and stuff like that. So what kind of hats? We talking baseball caps or, you know, gangster hats? What kind of hats are we talking about?
I like baseball, any MLB team. Majority of those I have. I got the football. I got a couple of hockey hats. I mean, any MLB, all that. I mean, but any hat you can name, I probably have it.
And we're talking flex, fitted, snaps, what kind?
Just straight fitted. All fitted, do whatever.
I feel that. I can only wear the fitted kind. I can't wear the other kind anymore. Well, once you get used to wearing the fitted, the other ones just don't feel right.
Yeah, all fitted. New era. That's all I wear.
And any particular team that you're rocking on a regular basis now?
I got to have the Atlanta since I'm from Georgia, so I got to have the Atlanta.
The Braves?
Got to. And you got to keep a fresh navy blue and white Yankee, so you got those two. In the game.
You're killing me, man. As a New York Mets fan, you're killing me with those two answers. I can't wear the Braves and I can't wear the Yankees. Neither one, man. Both and the Phillies too. Throw those out. You know the other teams I could wear. How about shoes? What kind of shoes do you like to wear? Mostly sneakers or all kinds of shoes?
Mostly sneakers, but I got all kinds. I got the Gucci, I got the Prada, I got all that. I mean, I probably. My teammates say my room look like Foot Locker, so I'm probably sitting on about 200 pairs of sneakers right now.
200?
About 200 right now.
Damn, I thought I had a solid collection. You take care of them and everything?
I probably only wore half of them like one time.
So when was the last time you threw out a pair of sneakers?
Probably every week.
every week?
Every week because I'm constantly buying new ones. So either I haven't seen a pair that, I mean, in a couple of years that I might be looking for, I just don't know it yet, or I haven't thrown them away. So, I mean, I take a lot of them Goodwill once I'm done with it. I probably get about two wears out of them, and I take them to Goodwill because, I don't have any other use for them.
All right, at least it's going to a good cause. I guess it's like a store. You got to restock for the new inventory. Now, we're talking to Kareem Jackson, corner of the Alabama Crimson Tide, one of the top cover men in the nation, not just in the SEC. Now, I'm reading up a little bit about you, and I hear you're kind of a jokester, a little bit of a prankster. Is that true?
Yeah, I am.
What do you like to do to your teammates to kind of mess with them a little bit?
I mean, it all depends. I mean, a lot of guys set themselves up for the joke I play on the guys, so it all depends how I'm feeling that day. I mean, playing football, you see the same guys every day in the locker room, so it's never a dull moment with me. So any day you can come in, you'll never know what I'll do to you, so you just got to stay on your toes with me.
Who's the guy that, you know, is the victim a lot of this?
I'll probably have to say Javier Arenas. Me and him was roommates, and we were roommates when we traveled. So I remember last year he had just got a scooter, and every day at the practice I used to hide it every day, and I'd blame it on someone else. So he'd get all hiding fears and stuff he was looking for, but it probably had to be him.
How about Coach Saban? You ever mess with him?
Sometimes. Just recently I heard he liked Lil Debbie's name, so I've been messing with him the last couple of days about that.
Really? I thought he might have been off limits. Okay.
Nah, ain't no limits for my jokes. I mess with anybody.
Now, I also read somewhere where you brought up Javier Arenas, your fellow starting corner, where he said, you know, having that kind of relaxed, cool personality that you have, he said he thinks it helps you on the field as a corner. You know, do you agree with that, and how so?
Yeah, I think you do, because you can't be all tense and stuff. You have to be relaxed out there, I mean, especially when you're out there on that island. I mean, you got to have that short-term memory out there, because, I mean, you got to make a play, and you just got to just refocus in and just play the next play. So, I mean, I think that helped me out a lot.
Now, you seem to be pretty instinctive out there. I don't know how much of it is instincts, how much of it is being well prepared, but, you know, like I think of the interception that you had against Ole Miss when you intercepted Jevon Snead and you jumped, I believe it was a slant route if I remember correctly, and watching that play, it almost looked like you knew it was coming.
Yeah, a lot of that comes from watching film, and I mean, it had to be instinct too, so I mean,
I sit down and watch a lot of film on Thursday night after our practice, where we just kind of brushing things up and just kind of putting the finishing touches on them. So, I mean, I saw that they like to go run slants the game before against Vanderbilt in the red area. So I was kind of thinking that they would do the same thing. So, I mean, this was an instinct out there, and I just jumped on it.
Now, Javier is kind of known as the blitzer in that secondary. He's got a lot of sacks and tackles for a loss in his career. You blew up a play against LSU on a blitz. Are we going to see more of that from you?
Hopefully, you know, because, I mean, I like to go in there from time to time and blitz too. So hopefully we'll see a little more of that.
All right, Kareem, before we let you go, we close things out with a segment we call Three and Out, where I give you three quick hitting questions. So first down, who's your favorite entertainer?
Favorite entertainer, musical.
Could be anything. Music, comedy.
Favorite entertainer's got to be T.I. I mean, he's from Georgia. I'm from Georgia. I mean, he got the Georgia thing going on right now. So that has to be my favorite entertainer right now.
All right, you got to represent the hometown. Second down, who's your favorite corner?
Champ Bailey. Hands down, without a doubt. Champ Bailey, I watch him Monday night in the game he's playing. I'm watching Champ all day long.
Another Georgia man right there. And third down, Tuesday was the 40th birthday of Sesame Street. Now, I know everybody watched Sesame Street. So when you were a kid, who was your favorite Sesame Street character?
It got to be Cookie Monster.
All right, finally, everybody's telling me Big Bird. Finally, I get a little variety. The Cookie Monster, I like that. All right, Kareem, thanks a lot for joining us and giving us some time. We want to wish you luck in the game this week, and hopefully we'll see you 12-0 playing in that SEC championship game.
All right, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Well, in case anyone cares, my favorite is the Count. I mean, he was, you know, like a cool Mac Daddy back in the day, even, you know, before anybody else was rocking it that way. So I'll go with the Count. If anybody is concerned for my Sesame Street favorite character, I'm Daniel Mulvihill, the founder of College Football Insiders, and this is College Football Insiders Radio, brought to you by All Access Football, and we are on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Don't forget to go to fsc.fm for all your fantasy radio all the time. I believe we cover in all the sports on the fsc.fm channel, football, baseball. I know I've heard some hockey there, some basketball. So all the great fantasy stuff is right there. And don't forget to go to NFLDraftBible.com for all your NFL news, your draft news, your college football news. Go get the College Football Insiders newsletter right now. Download it right now off the website and get ready for your college football weekend. And since we were just talking to a man from Alabama, let's stay with the SEC. They got a couple of games on CBS this week coming out of the SEC, beginning with Ole Miss against Tennessee, an intriguing game. Both teams kind of trying to find themselves, both teams trying to prove they deserve to be bowl contenders. How will Jevon Snead fare against this top Tennessee defense? Snead has had a really down season. A lot of people thought he might be the number one quarterback heading into the NFL this year. Right now, it looks like he probably won't leave. But, hey, you know, all it takes is one big game against this kind of defense and a strong finish, and then, boom, suddenly somebody looks like a first-round pick again. And if you think that's a bit of a reach, I mean, at this time, nobody was talking about Jamarcus Russell leaving early and being the number one overall pick. At this time last year, nobody was talking about Mark Sanchez leaving early and being the fifth overall pick in the draft. In fact, nobody was even talking about Mark Sanchez being a first-round pick until his, you know, big-time Rose Bowl performance against Penn State. So, you know, teams are desperate for quarterbacks, and all you need is one or two big-time games. And going against a Tennessee defense that has been pretty stifling and shutting down a lot of top teams, going up against Monty Kiffin, a defensive coordinator from the NFL, if Jevon Snead, and you could throw in Dexter McCluster there as well, if they perform well in that game, their stock could go up, up, up. And, of course, Eric Berry, I think, could be the best defensive player in the country. Fabulous safety and Ed Reed-type ball hawking. So dangerous with the ball in his hands. He's as exciting as any offensive player in the open field with the football in his hands. So, you know, you like to see him do what he could do. Unfortunately, Greg Hardy, the defensive end, who a lot of people believe and we believe will be a first-round pick. He will not be able – he will not play in the game. In fact, he is out for the season, so that's kind of disappointing. Let me shift to the games in the Big East. Tonight we have a big contest, an interesting contest here in the Northeast. Rutgers is playing host to the University of South Florida. Interesting contest there. South Florida always seems to have trouble with Rutgers. They always play West Virginia well with that speed, but they have trouble with the physicality that Rutgers brings. You know, it's not that cold, but it's still a little colder than they're used to down there. So I think this is a great measuring stick for the South Florida program. The winner of this game tonight has a chance to run the table and reach 10 wins, which would be an excellent season, a big-time season for either program. So I think this is a big, big game for both of these schools. They're not going to challenge for the Big East title, but it's still a huge game for both of these schools. And if you want to hear my interview with Nate Allen, the safety from the South Florida Bulls, one of the best DBs in the country, who will be playing on Sundays next year, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/collegefootballinsiders, and that's where we post all our one-on-one interviews with coaches and players. Tomorrow night, a game that could have ramifications in the conference is West Virginia going to Cincinnati. West Virginia, they're still in it. They still have a chance. Two losses. One is out of conference. They still have to play Cincinnati this week, and then later on they play host to their rival, Pittsburgh, at home. So if they win those games, they will be the Big East champs. Cincinnati obviously trying to hang on to that undefeated perfect season, and at the same time kind of being that team on the outside with Iowa losing now. You have TCU and you have Cincinnati as the two teams that are kind of lurking in case Texas falls or somehow, you know, the SEC doesn't have an undefeated team. So Cincinnati's trying to stay there and kind of be that team just on the outside waiting to pounce if somebody else slips up. And coming up next is a participant from that game, the exciting running back Noel Devine from the West Virginia Mountaineers. Joining me now in this College Football Insiders Player Spotlight is tailback Noel Devine of the West Virginia Mountaineers. Devine has rushed for over 1,000 yards this season and found the end zone 10 times. He's one of the most exciting tailbacks in the nation. Hey, Noel, how's it going today?
Great. How's it going with you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's we're getting into the heart of the Big East season now, and you guys are coming off a win on Saturday. And I just want to talk to you about a couple of the games you've had this year. You know, talk to me a little bit about that UConn win and that big touchdown run you had along the sideline.
I mean, we know what we had to do to come out and win. We still have a great chance. We're just determined to play as a team and play together. And it was a tough game. You know, we came through with the victory.
And
when it came down to somebody making plays, I knew one of us had to make plays, and I was excited to be the first to do so. And so when I got the ball in my hands, I was trying to make the best thing I could do possible for our team to get the victory.
And, you know, how big was that run? How does that run stack up against other moments in your career?
I mean, it stands out with a lot of great runs that I had, but it wouldn't have been nothing without the old line and the block that was given. And then basically from there, it's basically about making someone that's missed or breaking tackles.
And
once I seen the end zone, I was determined to get into the end zone.
Yeah, you showed amazing balance there, being able to stay, you know, in bounds and great speed. It looked like the DB had the angle on you, but he was not able to get you out of bounds. Talk to me a little bit about playing in these night games. You know, you guys have a game coming up this week, Friday night, big game against the Cincinnati Bearcats. You know, it seems like you like to play under the lights. You know, earlier this year you had 220 yards against Colorado. I believe you're kind of breakout performance of the country was that game against Maryland as a freshman. You had 200 yards against Auburn last year on Thursday night. What is it about those night games?
I mean, it just goes back to the memories of high school. You get a flashback and you see the lights on. And it's Friday night lights.
So, that you know, it just brings you back to those memories and is that pretty much it? Is there anything else? How about having that
isolated game. You know, I know NFL players talk a lot about that, having that Monday night game where, you know, the whole nation's watching. You know, does that play a role at all? Does it get you a little extra pumped up knowing the whole college football world is watching?
Yeah, most definitely. I would say to come out and try to be the best and do the best I can to play the best at my ability, as best of my abilities that I can play. It's just like, just showing what God has blessed me to do.
Now, that game I mentioned against Colorado, I actually watched that with the editor, Ross Mandel, from our newsletter, who's a Colorado alum, and you made it a rough night for him, and it really looked easy for you. I mean, I was telling him, I was like, man, you're lucky they're not giving him the ball more, because it looked like you could have gone for three Bills that night. Were you in a zone?
I mean, I was just losing. I was just feeling the night, and this felt like a special moment, and the atmosphere, I just caught the moment, and I was just heightened and ready to play. And so, like you say, it was a prime time game.
Now, you've been given a lot of credit to your offensive line, and you guys lost a couple of key pieces from last year's team. Tell me a little bit about, the guy I think is the best guy up front, Selvish Capers. What's it like running behind the big man?
I mean, it's great running behind. He can get the job done. You have no second guesses about it. I believe in him and also my other O-line. I think he's a great O-lineman. He can get the job done. Whatever he has to do, pass, block, pull in, or whatever, he gets it done. He's a great leader. He stepped up a lot since the season has been going on.
I also read, you know, before the year that you know, you wanted to step up as a leader as well. You know, 2 years ago you lost Steve Slayton. This year you lost Pat White. You were entering your junior year, second year as a starter. Talk about, you know, your role on the team as a leader as it's increased throughout your career.
I mean, it was basically just all about just waiting my turn and just sitting back and watching. I've always been a leader, but it was just something new for me to get used to being on this level. But you just have to do everything right in order to be a leader. And I was just ready to take that role after we lost Pat. So that's a big factor on the team. I wasn't planning on being a vocal leader, but when I had to speak, then I would speak. And I was just leading by example. Giving me the ball, just run hard as long as I can. And try to pick our team up and lead us.
We're talking to running back Noel Devine, the exciting tailback from West Virginia, hailing from Florida. He's already over 1,000 yards on the season, 10 touchdowns. I know you didn't play much in the second half last week. How's that ankle going?
I mean, it's getting better and better every day. Today was actually the first day that I practiced. I ran pretty well. Probably couldn't practice yesterday, but today I got a couple reps in today. So it was just a day-by-day process.
But you should be fine for the game on Friday, though, right?
Yes, sir. I'm a player no matter what, even if they have to cut the leg off.
How about Jared Brown? I know he was a little dinged up. How's he looking in practice?
He was practicing way before I was. I missed like a day or so, and he was ready to go. But I think he's going to be all right. As long as he keep getting treatment.
Now, your speed is, you know, the part of your game that kind of pops out right away. People can't help but notice your speed and quickness, but you're also a powerful guy as well, and you won the Iron Mountaineer Award, I believe, for your workouts. Talk about that part of the game and how much stronger you've gotten since you've been at West Virginia.
I've always been like a natural strong guy, probably from my father. That's just something that stood out to me that I know I had to work hard on and off the field, and especially in the weight room, to get to where I'm at now. That just always stood out to me, just hitting the weights. It's just something that I like to do to get bigger and stronger and just be a young, sexy guy with a lot of muscles. But, I mean, for me to be, most people say small, I figured I just had to hit the weights harder and be more powerful so they wouldn't call me a little guy and just get ready for the season and compare. Getting my body ready for the season, going into a long season. So you have to prepare your body for the season before it starts. You just don't start right when the season starts. You start ahead before the season starts.
I may have to go down to Morgantown and take a survey among the ladies on campus and see what they have to say about who's the best-looking Mountaineer now.
I don't know what they'll say about that, because they probably barely see me around. I'm just trying to say
All right, Noel, thanks for giving us some time. Before we let you go, we close things out with a segment we call Three and Out, where I give you three quick questions. So first down, who's your favorite all-time running back?
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, makes sense to me. Second down, favorite entertainer? Who's that?
Cat Williams.
Okay, and third down, today is the 40th birthday of Sesame Street. As a kid, who was your favorite Sesame Street character?
Sesame Street, Big Bird.
Big Bird, all right, we got two Big Birds so far. Thanks a lot, Noel, for giving us some time, and good luck Friday night against those Big Bad Bearcats.
Thank you, and you have a great night.
You too.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, Noel, thanks a lot.
And you can see Noel tomorrow night on ESPN taking on Cincinnati, who's ranked number 5 in the BCS. Let's move on to the Big Ten, and a big game there. Obviously lost some of its luster with Iowa, not only losing the game last week, so you know they're not in the running anymore to be an undefeated team. But in addition to that, they lost Ricky Stanzi. You know, the kid came into the game and just really couldn't move the ball. I think they had about 8 first downs from that moving forward, which actually, let me point out, was one more first down than Nebraska had in their win over Oklahoma. But they only had 8 first downs after that, couldn't put any points on the board. So it's going to be tough for Iowa to go in there with that rookie quarterback, excuse me, going into the horseshoe and pulling off an upset there. I've been backing the Hawkeyes all year long, but it's hard to believe they're going to pull off this upset in this situation. If they had Stanzi there, I'd still be backing my Hawkeyes. I think they have a really good defense. Ohio State had one good game with Pryor there, but they've been yo-yoing back and forth. We've been talking about this every week. So, you know, it might have been good week last week, bad week this week, and, you know, it might have been the time for Iowa to be opportunistic again and making some plays, taking advantage of the other team's mistakes. Instead, last week it was them making the mistakes and interceptions, fumbling in the end zone, which caused them to lose to Northwestern. But, you know, this game is still for the Big Ten title. And, you know, as long as Iowa can get some respectable play out of the quarterback, doesn't have to be great. If the kid can make a throw here, a throw there, I think they'll make a game of it, but it's going to be tough to pull off the upset. First career start in the horseshoe for the Big Ten title. Talk about a tough spot for the young quarterback. But I think it'll be a close game, I think, because of the defense, and I think also because the coaches know what's going on here. You know, Ohio State's not going to want to give Iowa an early lead because of a mistake, because of a bad play. So you're going to see some conservative football early on for sure, and I think that'll probably allow Iowa to hang around in the game. A key also is going to be the play of their offensive line. Can they get the running game going a little bit better? Can they make sure the quarterback doesn't get pressured and isn't worried about that and has time to throw the football? That could all impact how the game goes. Now, staying in the Big Ten, we have one more interview. So far, we've heard from Pat Fitzgerald of the Big Ten, head coach of Northwestern, as well as running back Noel Devine from West Virginia and corner Kareem Jackson of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Coming up now, we have John Clay of the Wisconsin Badgers.
Joining me now in this College Football Insiders Player Spotlight is John Clay, running back of the Wisconsin Badgers. Clay has rushed for over 900 yards this season, needing just 27 to reach the 1,000-yard mark, and has found the end zone 11 times. Hey, John, how's it going today?
I'm doing real good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. How you feeling? I know you had a little bit of a concussion last week and sat out a lot of the second half. How do you feel today?
I feel real good. I did a little practice in the day. It felt good. You know, just ready to roll now.
So that was kind of more precautionary than anything else?
Yeah, more than anything. I got sick before coming out the second half. Like, I kind of threw up a little bit, so they thought it was a concussion, so they sent me out.
And were they able to confirm that, or was, you know, what did you not have a concussion?
No, I didn't have one. I was just a head cold I had. I was sick from this morning before the game even started, and, you know, it came back up on me second half.
All right. I won't ask you what you were doing the night before. We'll just move on from that.
So, you know, you're a Wisconsin native. Were you always a Badger fan? Did you grow up rooting for the Badgers? Did you always want to play there?
Yeah, you know, I liked the Badgers, you know, in the school that ran the ball, you know. So running backs, that's your one goal you want to do is run the ball and be that main guy for the offense. And, you know, just starting my career off here in Wisconsin, I just want to finish it here too at college.
And we're talking to tailback John Clay, and, you know, not just running the ball, but, you know, power running, big backs. I mean, right up your alley, right?
Yeah, you know, got an excellent offensive line, over 300-plus. So, you know, with my combination of my size, too, and then got 300-pound linemen running after them, too, you know, so a big plus for us.
So how much of an impact did their style of offense have in you choosing Wisconsin?
It's a lot, you know, just running the ball here, just being the main guy and just, you know, being that vocal point of the offense that everybody wants to be.
So, you know, we're talking about the running styles. I actually have a question from one of our listeners. We had let them know you were going to be on, and John Christ from Chicago, who's a Badger alum, he wanted to know if you would prefer a 5-yard touchdown run where you kind of run over the defender, flatten them, or a 75-yard touchdown run off tackle where you're running away from people?
I would say about running over somebody. Just because getting hit all the time is like always a good thing, you know, to deliver the blow right back to them after a while.
Yeah, I feel that. You know, when you're a big guy and you're on offense, you kind of want to let the defense feel you a little bit too.
Yeah.
Now when, you know, you were growing up and as a Wisconsin fan, were you a big Ron Dayne guy?
Yeah, I was, just because he's a big back, and then, I went to the same high school as another running back that was here that played at Wisconsin, too, so, you know, I was just watching and following them.
And who's that? Who went to the same high school as you?
Brett Moss.
Okay, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
And, talk about the comparisons. I'm sure you get them a lot to Dayne as well as PJ Hill. You know, what do you think of the comparisons to your running style, to their running style? Do you get tired of hearing about it? Do you think they're accurate?
You know, a little bit of both. Yeah, I just feel honored, you know, being in that category with the guys. You know, they played a lot of years here and put up a lot of numbers. Just being in that same category with them, you know, it's a blessing to me. Kind of prove that you know, I am the guy that they can count on to run the ball 30 sometimes a game.
And we're talking to John Clay of the Wisconsin Badgers. John, let me ask you, you know, if I had to ask you to give me a scouting report of yourself, you know, not to compare you to anybody else, but to, you know, maybe fans that aren't that familiar with you, how would you rate your game? You know, what would be the scouting report on John Clay?
You know, I try to emulate as much as possible. I try to be like Jim Brown. Because I wear the number just because of him, and just try to, you know, copy his style of running with his speed and power. So, you know, just being that vocal guy, just people trying to focus on just like they were back in the day against them, just trying to punish each run defender as much as I can just to let them know that it's going to be a long day once they keep hitting me.
Hey, if you're going to emulate somebody, you might as well be the best ever, huh?
Yeah.
You know what, though? When my brother hears this interview, he's going to get a little upset, I think, because he just graduated from Syracuse, and he's gonna say, well, why didn't he go to Syracuse then? You know what I mean? He's like, they, we could have used a running back like John Clay the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
So how did that come about? You know, you don't hear a lot of young guys like yourself go way back that far, you know what I mean, to talk about a guy that they emulate or look up to.
I just used to sit with my dad. Used to watch them. You know, I had old tapes of, like, the greatest running backs, and, you know, just watch everything he did on the field. Just how he used to get up slow, you know, thinking, giving the defenders thinking like he's hurt, but he's really not, and then he comes back and run over him harder. So that's what I try to do.
I'm going to have to pay attention now a little closer when you get up and see how you do it and compare it to old Jimmy Brown and see how close you come. Now, do you have a favorite type of play? You know, any kind of – is there a particular play or type of play that comes into the huddle that kind of gets you a little extra excited? You're like, all right, that's what I'm waiting for.
Any inside run, like follow my leader and guard, anybody just following inside them. You know, I like being inside the tackles, you know, making contact, making people miss, and, you know, running people over in the box.
And what can you tell us about yourself off the field? You know, what, where could we find you, you know, during the week when you're not studying or not practicing? What might you be doing?
Probably just relax with the guys on the team. You know, just we all chill out together. You know, it's like a family. You know, we do stuff with each other. You know, we don't leave each other out. You know, just hanging with each other, playing games, you know, going out or whatever, just being together like a family.
All right, now tell me a little bit about this week's game you guys are taking on. The Wolverines facing a 3-4 defense. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen of Michigan and you know, any guys that stand out to you on that defense.
Yeah, they got an excellent front four. They got an excellent DN. You know, he's going to give us a lot of fits, 55 Graham, I think.
Yeah, Brandon Graham.
Yeah, him. And then they got an excellent linebacker core. You know, it's coming back. You know, they got a nose for the ball. It's just trying to get up out that box, you know, going against them.
Now, you guys need a couple more wins. You have a chance to reach 10 wins on the season and have a 10-2 regular season. How big would that be for you?
It would be real big, you know, but right now we're just, you know, shooting for Michigan right now, taking it game by game, just trying to do it like that.
Now, our guy, we have a Big Ten writer, John Sears, that covers the conference and writes about Big Ten players. In our preseason report, he had you listed as the conference offensive player of the year. What do you think so far? Are you deserving?
You know, I still got work to do, you know, along with my offensive line and everybody helps me out, you know, maybe the sky's the limit for my playing skills, but it all counts up front. You know, I need them guys as much as they need me, so, you know, I'm doing anything possible to help them out.
All right, John, before we let you go, we close things out with the segment we call Three and Out. We're talking to John Clay, tailback from the Wisconsin Badgers. They're taking on Michigan this Saturday. First down, your favorite, well, wow, we already know the answer. I was going to ask you your favorite all-time running back, but we already know that. How about your favorite entertainer?
Entertainer? I would say Cat Williams.
All right. I got that. I just spoke to Noel Devine, and he told me the exact same thing. All right. Second down, what's fiercer, a Badger or a Wolverine? And why?
I have to say a Badger because, you know, I've seen, I watched like little Geographic channels and like the little nature shows. Like, you know, they was relentless. You know, they went against bears when it came to protecting their territory and, you know, just anybody in their family or whatnot. So, you know, I have to say a Badger.
I like that. That's an educated answer right there. And finally, third down, today is the 40th birthday of Sesame Street. When you were a kid, who was your favorite Sesame Street character?
Big Bird is my favorite one.
Big Bird, 3-for-3 so far on Big Bird. All right, John, thanks a lot for giving me some time. I'm going to check you out with that Jim Brown slow, you know, get up from the tackle and see how you do. I'll let you know. Thanks for joining us, and good luck on Saturday.
All right, thank you
for talking to me. How do you not love that answer? Going to some National Geographic talking about Badgers fighting off bears and how fierce they are. You know, it just makes me laugh. You know, I think back to when we had Keelan Williams on talking about how a tiger is much more, you know, fiercer than who were they playing that week? I think a bulldog when they were playing Georgia, and he was talking about how there's motivational songs, the Eye of the Tiger, and he actually said, I don't remember hearing a song about a bulldog that people used to motivate themselves. So it's funny that, you know, how the players think of this stuff and the rivalries they have. Wisconsin, you know, looks like they're headed in the right direction. You know, they actually had a close game last week, but I think they're definitely headed in the right direction. So we're about winding down, folks. Sorry, there was a caller on the line. I was hoping they would hang in there for the final minute when we had the interview on, but we will be back next week on Friday at 5 o'clock. Hopefully we can take your calls then. As always, I'm in the chat room. You can always go to NFL Draft Bible as well. Check us out. Keep listening to the Fantasy Sports Channel. You can always get your fantasy news there at fsc.fm. And I will be back in a half an hour on All Access Football Radio here on Block Talk with our NFL Draft Digest show. Be myself and Justin Van Fulpen will be going over all the games coming up this weekend and taking it from a draft perspective, looking at which guys are going head-to-head, you know, which guys are going to be first-round picks playing on Saturdays, who are some sleepers, who are some underclassmen that could leave, who are the stars of tomorrow. And don't forget, go to NFLDraftBible.com where you can get all your draft news, all your fantasy football news, all your NFL news, and, of course, all your college football news. Thanks a lot for listening, and hopefully you'll be back next week. Enjoy the college football weekend.